we turn, if you're following along in your Bible, please, to 2 Timothy. Brother David was in 1 Timothy yesterday, Paul writing to Timothy, and then Brother Aaron afterwards. He was preaching on Levi's call of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to go back to the second letter of Timothy tonight. I don't want to consider a man who was at the point where he got called by the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to consider the Apostle Paul, who's at the end of his life. Not at the start of his calling, but at the end of it. Because that's what it really all comes down to, Christianity, you know. It comes down to, what do you believe on your deathbed? Do you have assurance when you get to that point? And we're going to see here in the Apostle Paul, there's a man who had great assurance in whom he believed. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read quite a long portion from chapter 1, the first 12 verses. I'm only going to deal with verse 12, but just so I don't have to fiddle about with the context, I'm just going to read the first 11 verses so you know what we're at. So starting in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now is made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death, praise God, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And this is the verse that we want to think about tonight, verse number 12. For the which cause, so being a preacher, an apostle and a teacher, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And now if you could just turn over a page, if you're following along, to chapter 4. Chapter 4, Paul speaking to Timothy about afflictions again here. So chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And what does he say next? For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure from this world is at hand. And we trust that the Lord will bless afresh the reading of his word to us this evening. I've got a little Bible at home, tiny little thing like this. My dear wife at the back got it for me there over in Northern Ireland when she went on a trip once. And when you come down to the bottom of the letter of 2 Timothy, it's got a little footnote at the bottom. And that little footnote, it simply says this: Paul writing to Timothy from Rome as he waited to be seen again by Nero, the emperor. Now we believe from history that shortly after this letter was written, that the Apostle Paul stood before Nero again. And then he was beheaded shortly afterwards. That was the end of the Apostle Paul's ministry. That's why he tells Timothy here in this letter that he is ready to be offered up. He's gone through so much pain. He's gone through so much affliction. He's been whipped by the Jews. He's spent 2 nights in the deep, in the sea. He's been shipwrecked. He's been through fastings. He's been through everything for his Lord Jesus Christ. And then right at the end of his life, he has to stand before one of the most wicked men that's ever walked on this earth, who literally burnt Christians at the stake and used them as lights down the street, and then he gets beheaded by that man. And in the context of all that, what does he say to Timothy? What does he say to Timothy in chapter number 1? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That's what it all comes down to, Christianity, my dear friends. That's why we're out here preaching to you in Coles Hill, and we'll be, by the will of God, preaching to you for another week, and then going off into Forlongley, then going off into Stockingford, because we want you to have the same assurance that the Apostle Paul had when he wrote this letter to Timothy. He had absolute assurance, facing death right in the face, that he knew on whom he had believed. You say, Paul, are you not worried about dying? You say, Paul, you've lived a wretched life for these last few years. You've been banged from pillar to post. Nobody's shown you any love apart from the Christians. You've been taken here, there, and everywhere. Do you not just want to give it all up, Paul? No, I don't. I know on whom I have believed. It was absolute rock solid certainty in the Apostle Paul. Do you have that tonight? It's what all Christians have, you know. This world that we live in today, it's not very certain, is it? Deary me. Nuclear war could be on the horizon. There's a new virus which is outbreaking in cruise ships around the world. The economy's doing this and this and this and this and this. If you look out into that world tonight, you'll be in absolute despair. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, none of that stuff matters. You know, I love telling this story. There was once a preacher, I'm going to have to find out his name one day. I will find out his name one day because I'll meet him in heaven. But he got up to preach his last message. And he was preaching away and preaching away and preaching away. And he sat down afterwards, just on the back of the stage. And in that moment, he just passed away. Gone. He went to go and be with his Lord. You know, when those dear Christians found him, there was no worry about where he was. They knew where he was. He hadn't gone to the lake of fire, which was created for Satan and his fallen angels. No, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in heaven with his Lord. And that's what's on offer for you tonight, my dear friends. If you've not been saved, you can have this rock solid certainty that even if you pass away in your sleep tonight, which you may well do, none of us are promised tomorrow. If you repent, put your own mindset to the back, turn away from your own ideas. Turn away from your sins. Don't let it entice you anymore. And you simply put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can know this. The moment that you pass from this life to the next, you will be with your Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's really all about. You know, in this room, there's about 30 of us. And if I did a little exercise tonight and all handed you out a piece of paper and said, write down all your problems on that piece of paper for me. Well, we wouldn't have any time to preach because people's lists would be as long as our arms, wouldn't they? We've all got problems in this world. We've all got difficulties that we're going through. I'm not trying to downplay any of that. But let me tell you what your biggest problem is. You're going to face death one day. And the Bible says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's your biggest problem. And there's only one person who can solve that problem for you. That list, as long as your arm, you might be able to solve some of those problems. If you've got money problems, you might be able to get a new job. If you've got problems at the home, you might be able to sort those out, whatever. But there's one issue that you cannot sort for yourself. And that's the issue of eternity. Where are you going to go after you die? Are you sure about that? Because I'm certain if I sit down in that chair and I pass from this life to the next, I'm going to be with my Lord. Absolutely certain of it. And so was the Apostle Paul. I know whom I have believed. You see that? It's very personal, this thing, you know. In that one verse, verse number 12, you have the word, that little word I used five times. I. You could probably get a sixth one in. And I am persuaded, if you wanted to. Good King James doesn't use it. But it's very personal. It's a very personal issue. Nobody can get saved for you, my dear friends. You have to get saved yourself. You have to have individual dealings with God. Paul had his individual dealings with God. This man who we're talking about, he was once on the way to Damascus, and he was there to go and persecute Christians and to rid them out of Damascus. And he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he got saved right there and then. Let me ask you this, have you ever had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ? You personally? Have you ever come to him? Have you ever put your trust in him? You know, my wife, she got saved when she was 8, but I didn't get saved when she was saved. I got saved years and years and years later. I had to have my own personal experience. And I tell you something, there's some people in this crowd who had the great privilege of being born into Christian families. But just because they were born into Christian families doesn't mean they were saved when they were born into Christian families. They had to have their own dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had to recognize that they were a sinner. They had to recognize that he was the only savior of sinners. And then they had to trust on him for a full and free salvation. It's all very personal. And you notice, it's not just very personal, but it's about perception as well. I know whom I have believed. I know. You know, one of the most frightening things that I find when I speak to people who claim to be Christians is that they get the person of the Lord Jesus Christ wrong. They say, yes, yes, what Christ did on the cross is good, but I need to do X, Y, and Z afterwards. No, you don't. You just need to believe on him. Paul knew who he was. He was his savior. He was his Lord. We were just praying in that prayer meeting. The work of the cross is absolutely complete. And all you need is the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need anything else to get to heaven, my dear friends. Praise God for that. Amen. You just need him. And Paul knew it. I know. He was absolute certain in his mind. Now, when somebody first gets saved, I'm not saying they might not waver. They might not have some doubts. I'm not saying that. But as you read this book, and I pray that you do, and as you get to know the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're going to find is this. He is worthy of your trust. Amen. He is absolutely worthy of your trust. He's never lied. He's never stolen from anyone. He's never said anything that you cannot trust. Everything that he says in this book is absolutely true, and you can know whom you have believed. You can know it. Now, this matter of faith. We're going to get up here and we're going to tell you something that's absolutely true. Believing's easy. Mm-hmm. Don't complicate it. Mm-hmm. Right? Just believe. But I might upset a few people here because it's not just quite as simple as that. And I'm going to explain it to you. Mm-hmm. When you came in tonight, you exercised faith. You believed that that chair would hold you up. And you went plonk. And you sat yourself on it. Now, if that chair had given way, God willing, if you come back tomorrow, you might think twice about just plonking yourself down on it. But you see how that works. You exercised faith in a chair. My point is this. Sometimes we actually exercise faith without even realizing we're doing it. It just comes to us so naturally. However, other times, it's different. So, for example, if I sidled up to you at the end of this meeting and I nudged you on your shoulder and I said, listen, you give me all the money that you have and come back here tomorrow and by a high risk, high reward investment, I will have doubled your money. Well, you're going to think about that a little bit more, aren't you? You're not just going to plonk yourself down on that chair. You're going to think, is this man trustworthy? Can I really trust him with my money? And the answer is no. If I come and ask you, don't give it me. And this is the thing about trusting in Christ, you see. Whilst it is simple, and you should trust him like you trust that chair tonight, you should just simply do it. There's also another very clear element to this which I find in my Bible. It is the biggest decision that you'll ever make in your life. Mm-hmm. And therefore it needs to be properly considered and you need to count the cost. Yeah. That's what the Lord said himself. You know, we've had a young girl who came into Hope Chapel a few months ago and she got baptized, she said she believed, and now she's gone out the back door and she's never come back. Well, she was back in the other night, but she's... And it's the saddest thing ever. Did she just get caught up in the emotion of the night? Did she just tell us that she believed without properly believing? We don't know. We honestly don't know where she stands. And whilst believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is simple, know this, that when you do it, it is the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. And yes, it changes your eternal destination. It takes you on that broad road that leadeth to destruction. And it takes you off that path with the lake of fire. And it puts you on the road to heaven, praise God. But it'll also change your life down here as well. Absolutely. And there'll be loss. And there'll be suffering. And there'll be difficulty. So count the cost. But I tell you something. When I look at the ledgers, and I put temporary suffering on the side of eternal glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, and when I put the pleasure of this world on the side with suffering in the lake of fire for all of eternity, let me tell you this. The ledgers are a mismatch. You get down to the bottom and they don't add up. Coming to Christ is the best thing you'll ever do. And trusting in him is the best thing you'll ever do, my dear friends. That's why Paul said, I know whom I have believed. Whom? He didn't say, I know what I have believed. He didn't say, I know how or why or when I have believed. He didn't say, I know what I've done to please the great God of heaven. He said, I know whom I have believed. At the centre of our message tonight is the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear friends, a person. Mm-hmm. That's who it's all about. You believe in on a person, but not just any person. The eternal Son of God. the sinless, spotless one who died for your sins, who died for my sins. And if you will come to him, he has arms open wide to take you into the family of God and to bless you with eternal life. Mm-hmm. He said, if any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Mm-hmm. And that's who invites you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't rest on what you can do, because it's not enough for God. Don't worry about how to believe. People get all mixed up with that. Have I believed enough? No, just come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your trust in him. It's as simple as this, you see. We've just been going through local elections. And do you know what many people have done? They've said, I believe that this man or this woman are the right people to run my local council. I believe it. So they've put their trust and their faith in them and they've given them their vote. It's exactly the same with the Lord Jesus Christ, but the stakes are just massively different. Mm-hmm. I believe that if I put my trust in him, he can take me straight to heaven when I die. That's what it is. As simple as that. He's the one who can do it. He's the one who will do it if you just come to him. Notice, and I say this just before I sit down, notice it says, I know on whom I have believed. It happened in a point in the past for the Apostle Paul. He doesn't say, I know whom I'm trying to hold on to and stay believing in now. No. I know whom I have believed. He had a moment in time when he got saved. And if you're to get saved, if you're going to be on your way to heaven, there has to be that moment in time when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying you have to know it. I don't know the exact time when I got saved. I know some might disagree with that. I don't know it. But there was a moment when I got saved. There was a moment when I put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that moment to all of eternity, I'm saved.
Yeah.
I can't go back. I can't be lost.
Amen.
There's a religious man who came to the Lord Jesus Christ one night, and the Lord turned around to him and said, "Ye must be born again." Do you know what the thing is about being born again? Or the thing about being born is, when you're born, you can't be unborn. When you've been born into a family, you cannot be unborn. As much as some of us would like to have been with the family members that we have, you can't be unborn. And when you're born into the family of God, you cannot be unborn. You're there. You're part of the furniture, as it were. You're in his family, and he will make sure that you get to heaven. So we trust the Lord will bless his word to us. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. May the Lord bless you all.